Who sends the rain? Who controls the weather? Let's have a little louder noise than that. Who controls the weather? This is the 12th week. The 12th week. There'd been no rain on Sunday. Leviticus 26:4. Then I will give you rain in due season. The land shall yield her increase. The trees of the field shall yield their fruit. 1 Kings 18:35 and 36. When the heaven is shut up, there's no rain, because they have sinned against me, against thee. If they pray toward this place and confess thy name and turn from their sin when thou afflictest them, then hear thou in heaven and forgive the sin of thy servant, thy people Israel, that thou teach them the good way wherein they should walk, and give rain upon the land which thou hast given to thy people for an inheritance. 1 Kings 17:1, and Elijah the Tishbite, who was of the inhabitants of Gilead, said unto Ahab, as the Lord God of Israel liveth, before whom I stand, there shall not be dew nor rain these years, but according to thy word. 1 Kings 17:14, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, the barrel of meal shall not waste, neither shall the cruse of oil fail until the day that the Lord sendeth rain upon the earth. Amos 4:7, and also I have withheld the rain from you when there were yet 3 months to the harvest, and caused it to rain upon one city, and caused it not to rain upon another city. One piece was rained upon, and the piece whereupon it rained not withered. Acts 7:14-17, nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. Y'all passed the quiz pretty good. And then the song we get to sing, I love that song, who sends the wind and sun and rain to nourish fields of golden grain. You talk about natural law all you want to. I thank God sends the rain. We both got 2 inches this last 30 days. We didn't. Let me read you something here. What I hope will happen when we preach. I read this week. Thomas Mann gave me this some message. Got to excuse me here. He gave me a message, and I got this out of this message. Here's how it ought to be in church. So you need to be always praying. Here's what kind of event we ought to have when we come to the house of God. To hear a sermon should be to catch a sight of Christ. To hear a sermon should be to feel the wind of heaven in your face. Once you expect to receive an edict from the throne room, because it truly is God who is speaking. One should feel the tremors from the thunder of Sinai and the rumble of rending rocks at Calvary's Mourning Mountain. Men will remain poor preachers until they learn that sermons are spiritual events through which people encounter the Holy One. That's the truth. We may have some lectures sometimes. We need sermons. That's impossibility without God. What I hope to do today is, my title is Amazing Grace 1. Read us out Amazing Grace 1. I'm hoping there'll be Amazing Grace 2 and 3 maybe. I don't know. The other night, I was lying in bed, and all of a sudden God just overwhelmed me with His grace. And I thought of all kind of text. I couldn't sleep. I didn't want to sleep. All kind of text that had to do with grace. So I began to run through my mind. So I got up the next morning and began to study, and I found that grace is mentioned in the New Testament alone 122 times. Of course, I'm not going to use all 122 of them. But I want to talk to you about grace a little bit. I want you kids to listen to me, okay? I want to give you a definition of grace. It's a real big word. It's a amazing word, a glorious word. I couldn't probably give all the ramifications of it, but when I was a kid, I heard preachers say this, and they were right. You listen to me, kids? Grace is an unmerited favor. That's the bottom line. And what that means is, it's something you don't deserve, something you don't earn. Grace is an unmerited favor. Can y'all remember that? I knew that when I was a little kid. Grace is unmerited, something you get, you don't deserve, you don't work for it. It's just grace. And so let me say, at Grace Chapel, we don't believe, many people say they believe in grace, and I'm not running them down, they probably do to some extent. But a lot of people believe what I call it, salvation by grace, comma. We old Baptists believe in salvation by grace, period. A lot of people say, well, we believe in grace, but, it's like Pink said, when you hear that but, don't pay attention to anything that they said before but, they really mean what they said after but. So it's not salvation by grace, but it's not salvation by grace. Now listen, I'm going to tell you something. You don't do anything to get saved. Now after you are saved, you do a lot. Salvation by grace, you're dead in trespasses and sins till God moves first. Lazarus could not move till Jesus said, Lazarus, come forth. And the child of God is just that dead in trespasses and sins till God speak to him by direct act of the Holy Spirit. So remember, we don't preach salvation by grace, comma. We preach salvation by grace, period. Somebody said, well, Brother Zach, you've got to exercise your free will. You can't do anything to your will until God works on you. Let me give you a verse. You need to always remember the verse from Romans 9:16. You ready for this? Romans 9:16. It's not of him that willeth. Do you hear what I read? It's not of him that willeth, nor of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. Did y'all hear that? If you didn't hear it, let me give it to you again. It's not of him that willeth, nor him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. If you will, because God worked in you to will and to do as his good pleasure, Philippians 2:12. Thy people shall be willing that they have thy power, Psalm 110, verse 3. So my friend, if you love Jesus Christ today, he loved you first, and he moved first in your life, then you responded. But he gets all the glory, not just part of it. We don't believe in salvation by grace, comma. We believe in salvation by grace, period. Now let me say this. Grace won't make you lazy. It'll do the opposite. If you are lazy, you have not experienced God's true grace yet. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 15:10, the grace of God, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. Isn't that a great verse? Only the Holy Ghost could write a verse like that, couldn't he? Let me give it to you again. It's a great verse that somebody's covering that one verse. 1 Corinthians 15:10. I did not receive the grace of God in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all. It didn't make him lazy, but guess who got all the glory, not just part of it. Yet not I, the grace of God, which was with me. Anything you do good, give God 100% of the glory. We're not robots, but you would not do it if God had not worked in you, both the willing and the doing of his good pleasure. Now, let me tell you what grace is opposed to. Three things I want to tell you what it's opposed to. It's opposed to law. You don't get saved by keeping the law. Even though if you are saved, you'll try to keep God's law. It'll be imperfect, but you'll try to, because he wrote his law in your heart, put it in your mind when you're born again. So in John 1:17, the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth by Jesus Christ. We're not come to Mount Sinai, we're come to Mount Zion. Isn't that great? It's also opposed to debt. We don't pay off a debt to get saved. Jesus paid the debt off. Romans 4:4, Now to him that worketh is the reward not reckoned of grace, but of debt. So grace is contracted to law keeping. It's contracted to debt. It's also contracted to works. So I'll read you several verses on this. Several verses. This is a great verse in Romans 11:6. And if by grace, this no more of works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it be of works, it's no more work. It's no more grace. Otherwise, work is no more work. What's he saying? Grace and works don't mix. Oil and water don't mix. It can't be a combination of works and grace. That's why I say I don't believe in salvation by grace, comma. I believe in salvation by grace, period. You don't cooperate with God to get saved. You cooperate with God after you are saved, but not to get saved. It's salvation. Jonah had it right in the belly of that whale. Hope we don't have to get in the belly of the whale to get it right. Salvation is of the Lord, Jonah said in Jonah 2:9. Isn't that great? I was kind of kidding old Alejandro over in the Nicaragua. He got tickled at me. I said, Alejandro, that old whale was an Armenian whale. Because when Jonah said salvation by the Lord, he vomited me up. My friend, listen, salvation is by grace. Hallelujah. Now, a few more verses on this. Ephesians 2:8-9. I cut my teeth on this when I was a kid. I love this verse. Brother Holder, my pastor that baptized me, used to quote it all the time. For by grace are you saved through faith, but that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Boasting is excluded on salvation. God gets all the glory. You know, in heaven, the song we'll be singing is Thou art worthy. Oh, you're alone worthy. Over in Revelation, it's all over the place. We need to sing that song now. We're trying to do that. I'm glad we had a good song service. We try to sing, my friend, Thou art worthy. Nobody else but Thou art worthy. It's not a bunch of soul winners going to get a lot of credit in heaven. It's not, nobody is. The Lamb of God gets all the glory. To Him be the glory. And I want to preach that right now. I hope I preach it to my dying breath, and God bless me, keep preaching. Lord, you get all the glory because you did all the work. Now, you contributed something to your salvation. You know what it was? You did all the sinning, and God does all the saving. How about that? You do all the sinning, and God does all the saving. Hallelujah. All right. For by grace you say, through faith, that not of yourselves, is the gift of God, even the faith is the gift of God, that you're given in regeneration, not of works that any man should boast. 2 Timothy 1:9, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Friend, if you love the Lord today, because he loved you first, guess how long he loved you? Guess how long you think somebody doesn't love you? Do you love Jesus Christ? Imperfectly, of course, but do you love him? I have loved thee with an everlasting love. Hallelujah. Therefore, with loving kindness have I drawn them. There's never been a time the Lord hadn't loved you if you're one of his children. Isn't that amazing? Before you were even born, before you had an existence, God saw you, my friend, in his mind and determined to save you. And Jesus Christ, did you personally. It's not just a bunch of, I believe in election, because the Bible teaches that. It's not God just reaching to a barrel like that. My friend, he called you by name. He called his sheep by name. Isn't that great? It's just like if Kiefer, it's like you're the only one he ever saved. Now, he's saved a lot more besides you. But that's what the personal attention he gives you. That's amazing. See, I can't tell it all. I said amazing grace. No, John Newton had it right. Amazing grace. Amazing grace. Unspeakable grace. If we could get a hold of it, we'd be shouting happy right now. So who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. And then another text here, my last one on this right now, this is Titus 3:5. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. For the washing of regeneration, renewing of the Holy Ghost. Let me read that to you again. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done. So get yourself righteousness. Get rid of it. The best thing you've done, God's word said in Isaiah 64, your righteousnesses are filthy rags. You're not earning points with God. Everything you do is mixed with sin. Everything you do is mixed with sin. Spurgeon said, my repentance needs to be repented of. We're worse than we think we are, and God better than we think he is. What about your heart? Jeremiah 17:9. The heart deceitful above all things and desperately wicked, who can know it? Without Jesus Christ. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but by his own, according to his mercy, he saved us. Mercy, I love that mercy. I did all I can get. By the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. One time at Calvary Church, when I was a young man, and I want to preach a sermon one of these days on sermons which have had an impact on me. Now, I want you to come to church expecting sometimes a sermon will really have an impact. We go to church and hear good sermons, but some of them really have an impact. I remember one time, Norman Cooper from Texas, who in my ordination back in 1967. Norman Cooper preached on this text in Titus 3:5, the washing of regeneration, renewing the Holy Ghost. I'll never forget that. The Holy Ghost was so thick you could cut it with a knife. People were just awed. And he the name of his sermon was God's Washing Machine. He said, folks, when you come out of that washing machine, you don't only come out clean, you come out new. A new creature in Christ Jesus. I hear old Norman say that. He's been gone with the Lord several years now. But he said, you come out. So my friend, if you're one of God's children, born again, love him, you've been put in God's washing machine. Come out totally clean as far as he's concerned. You're not glorified yet, but you're justified. Right now you're justified. There's therefore now, Randy, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. That means not guilty, as you had never sinned, because the sin was placed on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know what I want to do now? Something a little bit unusual. If you want to turn, you can do it, to 178 in the song book. I'm going to spend the rest of my time going through this song, so I won't be here a lot longer, probably. But this is a great song. It's 178, Grace to the Charming Sound, and it is a charming sound. Now, you know what? You don't only just get saved by grace, you stay saved by grace. It takes the same grace of God to keep you saved as it did to get you saved to start with. Some people think God saved you, they kind of handed it to you and said, now you do what you can with it. Some people actually believe that. Well, I tell you what, man, friend, you don't know how weak you are, how slick the devil is. If God gave me my salvation, said, Zach, I'm giving you salvation, it's yours now, you keep it. I'd lose it within no telling how, a very short time, because the devil, he would trick me out of it. He will you too. So I don't only depend on God to save me initially, I depend on God to keep me saved. He promised me he'll save me to the uttermost, to the very end. Isn't that great? He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it till the day of Jesus Christ. He's the author and the finisher of our faith. So let's look at it. I know you love this song. Philip Doddridge wrote it. So let's read this and just look at it for a little bit. And may God bless it to be fresh in our hearts. Amazing Grace. I may talk about that the next. If I get on Amazing Grace 2, I might go through Amazing Grace. But I want to go through Amazing Grace 1 today. I want to go through Philip Doddridge's song, Grace to the Charming Sound. Oh, it's a charming sound. Grace to the charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound. All the saints shall hear. Boy, it's going to be great to get to heaven, isn't it? You talk about a celebration, an eternal celebration. You think you get tired of praising Jesus Christ? You won't. Listen, friends, when you see Jesus Christ, you're going to start shouting praises. We sang today what they're singing in heaven right now. Holy, holy, holy. The Bible said in Revelation 4, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And they're not getting tired of it. When you see him, that big smile he'll have on his face. Jesus Christ has the biggest smile of anybody you've ever seen. He's going to have it. Because he had nothing against you because he paid those sins. And you're beautiful to him. And you're his bride. And he loves his bride. He's engaged to her now, a spouse to her now, but the marriage will be consummated eternally in heaven. The marriage supper of the Lamb, and him at the head of the table. He brought me to his banqueting house, and his banner over me was love. That's what old Solomon said about it over there. I tell you, friends, when I get through, the half is not going to be told. I'm not exaggerating. I'm not doing good enough. May the Holy Ghost make it real to you. Grace to the charming sound, harmonious to the ear. Heaven with the echo shall resound. All the saints shall hear. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man. God planned it before the world began. The eternal covenant. I've been memorizing over there in Hebrews 13:20. The God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant. You know what the everlasting covenant was? It's the Trinitarian covenant. God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Ghost, playing the way of salvation, God doing the choosing election, Jesus Christ becoming their surety, dying for their sins, the Holy Ghost regenerating and sanctifying them. There's unity in the Godhead. There's unity in the Godhead. It's beautiful. You know, when I was a kid, again, old brother E.C. Holder was a good preacher. He baptized me back in 1954. And old brother E.C. Holder could preach that cover of grace so sweetly, I could actually see, of course, it's not really this way exactly, I could see a great big old oak table up there in heaven, and God the Father, God the Holy Ghost, and God the Son sitting around there making a deal. It's just that real. It's probably not an oak table. But my friend, that's the everlasting covenant. We're saved through that blood of the everlasting covenant. First, grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man, and we are rebellious. Before we're born again, we're totally rebellious, and we still have to fight it, don't we? Do you have to fight it? Be honest about it. You live a perfect life all the time? Do you? You get dissatisfied sometimes? You like this COVID thing going on right now? You like it? Getting sick of it? Are you murmuring against God sometimes? You let God down, you make a vow, I'm going to do better, and then slip back sometimes and fall same old stinking sin? The flesh lusteth against the spirit against the flesh, then a contrary, one to the other, so you cannot do the thing that you would. You like the Apostle Paul, when I would do good, evil is present with me, and he lived a great life, but my friend, he knew he did not live a perfect life by any means. He said it, he meant it, in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. And brother, the older I get, the more I think that about myself. No wonder Paul could say, he called himself the chief of sinners. I think every child of God feels that way when God shows them what they are without grace. Grace first contrived the way to save rebellious man. All the steps that grace displayed withdrew the wondrous plan. Grace first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. My friend, if your name, some people say, well, when you accept Jesus Christ, your name is written in the book of life. They're way too late on it. It's before the world began. You read Revelation 13:8 and Revelation 17:8. My friends, your names, the elect, were written in God's book of life before the world began. And someday you'll see your name. That's going to be a great thing. You read in Revelation about those two books. There's the book of life and the book of works. It doesn't say book of works. That's what it amounts to. Which one are you going to be judged out of? It's going to be real. We're going to come to that judgment one of these days. And my friend, people think God forgets their sins. I bet Ted Kennedy thought that God forgot about Chappaquiddick probably, but he didn't. My friend, I tell you, some people think, you know, some people commit a great sin. These politicians say, well, let's just kind of move on. Old Bill Clinton just want to kind of move on, put it behind him, you know, like God forgot about stuff. God hasn't forgot anything. My friend, some people are going to be horrified when they're judged out of those books, and they're going to, there's something they've forgotten about, but God hasn't forgotten about it. So we all be trembling in our books. But you know what? There's another book. It's the book of life, and if your name's written in there, you got it made. You don't have to answer that other book. So you ought to be interested in that book of life. If you love Jesus Christ, your name is there. Even though you may be imperfect, and you are. And you let him down. But if you really love him, your name is in the book of life. Written there before the world began. God first inscribed my name in God's eternal book. Because grace that gave me to the Lamb. Who all my sorrow took. You're God's love gift to Jesus Christ. Read John 17. You're God's love gift to Jesus Christ. So I'm going to give you something. I'll give you some children. Now, you've got to be a surety for them. Yes, Father, I'll do it. And he was. But it's a gift.
Amen.
You're a gift. He loves you. He's a gift.
Yeah.
It's a gift. Because grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took, all your sorrows that you have him right now, he's already taken them. Someday you won't even... There won't even be a memory. I talked to a man not long ago that he's committed a terrible sin that he's very sorry. And people think ill of him. He just feels terrible. He left the Lord. I said, listen, it doesn't, ultimately, what really counts is what God thinks, you know, what men think. And God's very merciful. You repented. He forgave you that sin. You have brought bad things in the name of Jesus Christ, but you're repentant. And someday, it won't even matter. It won't. It it won't. Your sorrows that you have right now, real sorrows, God knows about those sorrows. He knows about them. You know that? Isn't that great? He cares, doesn't he? Doesn't he, Davis? What's the short text in the Bible? Jesus wept. He really wept. He cried tears. Why? He knew he was fixing to raise Lazarus from the dead, but he was so touched with the sorrow of those sisters. He sympathized with them, like we all sympathize with each other. He cared, my dear friends, who all my sorrow took. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road. That's why you're on the heavenly road today. Like I say, not perfectly, but you're on the heavenly road if you love the Lord. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I made. He doesn't say each hour. We need it all the time, don't we? We need it all the time. Every day we need God's grace. Every moment we need God's grace. Grace led my roving feet to tread the heavenly road, and new supplies each hour I meet while pressing on to God. So God will give you what you need. Don't borrow tomorrow's troubles. Don't worry about the election coming up. Don't worry about the viciousness we see in our streets. My friend, what you need every hour, God will give it to you. God never intends for you to worry about the future. He said, take no thought for tomorrow. He meant no anxious thought for tomorrow. The evil of the day is sufficient thereof. Cast your care on him. Who do you think is running the universe? The Lord's running the universe. Amen. Is he being defeated? No, he's not being defeated. Did I ever say God said, understand me? I never have said that, have I? What did I say, great chapel people? God never said, understand me. What did he say? Trust, that's right. Not understand, trust. All right. Grace taught my heart to pray. First thing the Apostle Paul did after he got saved, he had already prayed, but wasn't really praying. But the first thing he did, the first thing every child of God does, when a baby, y'all seen some of my children born, and it's always that hope they'll start crying, and they do, ha, it's alive. Brother, when a child of God is born again, they start crying out to God. Sometimes it may be almost unconsciously. Sometimes the Holy Ghost breaking groanings with, making an intercession with groanings which cannot be uttered. But the child of God just got to pray. He has to pray. Grace taught my heart to pray and made my eyes overflow. Hope to God our eyes will overflow. We can shed tears of joy. For it's grace that kept me to this day and will not let me go. Amen. He ain't going to let you go. And then this is going to be something when we get to glory. Grace all the works shall crown in everlasting days. In heaven, it lays in heaven the topmost stone and well deserves the praise. Now let me give you a little bonus and then I'm going to be through. I hope to preach a sermon on these days. I got to thinking about, I've re-memorizing, of course, Psalm 23. And I got that expression, thou art with me. Boy, that really got a hold of me. Thou art with me. My friend, God is with you. He told the people in Haggai they're going to rebuild, do some building. He said, the Lord's with you. Now, I'm going to tell you two things. God is with you. God is for you. Can you beat that? He said over in Romans 8, if God be for us, who can be against us? He said in Psalm 23, God with us. God is with us. He's for us. Now, I'm not just giving you a pep talk. I don't like pep talks. I'm giving you Bible. I'm giving you the Word of God. I'm giving you something you can bank on. I'm giving you something that the Bible says, my pastor used to say, based on the Bible, these truths shall stand when the world's on fire. No matter what happens in the future, he's God the same yesterday, today, and forever. Jesus Christ, you wrote Hebrews 13:8. That's not the right citation, but it's still in Hebrews. So, my friend, amazing grace. Amazing grace.